I would like to talk to you for a few moments from the topic, Don't Quit Now. There's restoration in the midst of the mess. Don't quit now. There's restoration in the midst of the mess. Restoration is the act of restoring to an unimpaired or improved condition. What a mighty word of empowerment, and I find it to be synonymous with the word recovery. You see, recovery means to get back, to regain something, to restore oneself to a normal state. So in essence, if you recover, then you can be restored. And if you are restored, you have recovered. Let me make this thing live for you. When you look at a house that is a new construction, everything that was used to build the house is new. So here you have a house with great curb appeal, great luster, and a solid structure. Down through the years, the house takes a beating from old Mother Nature, which causes it to lose its curb appeal, lose its great luster, and even lose its solid structure. The house is then put on the market because the owners don't want to invest in restoring the house. But soon enough, there is a buyer out there that sees the potential in that old run-down house. They purchase that house and begin to replace the old with the new, and before you know it, the house is restored and has recovered its curb appeal. It recovered its great luster, and now is standing stronger than it was before. That's how it works for us as well. You see, there are people out there that will use you up and drain the very life out of you. They are your friends when you got it going on. But as soon as you hit bad times, they are nowhere to be found because they don't want to invest in you. They don't want to see you be restored, but I'm here to let you know that God says, I see the potential in you. Yes, you may be at your lowest point, but I'm willing to invest in your restoration and you will recover all. You see, restoration and recovery is a byproduct of God's manifestation. God's manifestation is a public demonstration of his power and purpose in your life. And there are some of us in here whose life was put on the public display for all to see when you hit rock bottom. They saw when you lost your job. They saw when you had no money. They saw when life beat you down. But I'm here to let you know that God says it's time to recover all that was lost and be restored. Don't quit now. All the embarrassment you endured, it's time to receive double for your trouble. God's going to manifest and release some things this year that will blow your mind. And it will be on public display for all to see. All I can say is get ready, for this morning there is going to be restoration. Even in the midst of the mess you find yourself in. somebody needs to give God praise. Amen. Restoration in the midst of the mess. And I know that some of you don't like to speak when the preacher is preaching. And that's okay. But if the word of God speaks to you, it's okay to say amen if you can, if you want to. Feel free. I don't want to hold any restrictions. But sometimes you have to liberate yourselves from those things that hold you. Because I guarantee you, if someone walked down this aisle and went to someone in here and gave them $1 million, I bet you won't be quiet then. So when I'm giving the word of God ministers to you. Not every sermon is for everybody, but someone can identify with what I'm talking about. And it's okay for you to wave your hands. If you don't want to say anything, you don't have to. It's okay if you want to wave your hand. It's okay. I just want to put that out there because I believe this word is going to touch somebody and somebody feels it. It's okay to shed a tear. It's okay to show emotions. So I would like to use David as the example to see how restoration can take place in the midst of the mess that you find yourself in. So that we're all on the same page. And I'd love to set the stage for you because I don't know who's heard the story, who doesn't know the story. So it doesn't matter because I'm going to make sure we all understand and we're on the same page. So David is running from his own king, King Saul, who is envious of him, hunting him down to kill him. Saul is so eaten up with envy and paranoia that he mistakenly thinks that David is trying to steal his throne. So he tries to take David's life on several occasions. David has to flee to the nation of the Philistines, enemies of Israel, where he and his soldiers fight for the Philistines as mercenaries. But one day, the Philistines go to fight the Israelites, and David and his army are sent home. And that brings us to our text. When they arrived at their temporary home in Ziklag, they find that the Amalekites have raided their town, burnt their homes to the ground, and taken their wives and children hostage. David and his men were already tired and hungry. They thought they were coming home to the welcome and warmth of their families, to rest and food, but instead they come home to a shocking scene of emptiness, desolation, and loss. What a horrible day in the life of this anointed man of God. Although this is a devastating situation, we can see that God was still in control and had his hand in this situation, which brings us to the first point. Point number one, we have to learn how to find God in all our situations, no matter how bad it looks. The first sign that God was with David in this situation can be found in verse 2. It says, and had taken captive the wives and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. David and his men could have lost it all, but it wasn't lost. It was just captive. Even though the camp had been burnt and the women captive, they were still alive. There is a difference. We keep crying over our stuff like it's lost, but I'm here to let you know that it's just captive. We cry and we weep over what the enemy has taken from us like it's lost, but it's not lost, it's just captive. So stop crying over your situation as if all hope is gone and the situation is dead. It's not dead. It's just being held captive by the enemy. And I'm here to let you know that you must have faith that you are going to recover it all. Faith that you will be restored, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You've got to have faith that you can get it back. You've got to have faith that you can be made whole again. You have to have faith. You can get your joy back. You can get your money back. You can get your house back. You can get your business back. You can get your peace of mind back. You can dream again. Whatever you need, you can get it back. And when you get it back, you will be better than you were before you lost it. We can be restored and recover all. You see, I'm on my way somewhere. I'm headed for my destiny. For I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am the lender and not the borrower. I speak life and not death. My circumstances will not dictate my destiny. Let's look at the text. Verse 4 says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. So when David and his band of soldiers saw all of the devastation, the Bible said that they cried until they couldn't cry anymore. The Bible says that they didn't have any more power. In the Hebrew, they were drained because of their grief. Somebody here knows that your troubles can drain you. That troubles can drain your mental alertness. Troubles can drain your required sleep. Troubles can drain you and make your pillow wet with tears. Trouble can drain your checkbook. Trouble can drain you of your self-worth. Troubles can drain you so much that you think you are about to lose your mind. Troubles can drain you and you feel sick without a physical ailment. Y'all know stress can kill you. Troubles can drain you so much and even stop you from praying. When David checked out his home, two of his eight wives were gone. Ahinoam and Abigail were gone. But check this out. Ahinoam and Abigail were also spiritually significant. Ahinoam's name in Hebrew means delight. Abigail's name in Hebrew means joy. So David had lost both his delight and his joy. So the devil hit him with a twofold punch. He lost the reason to be happy. He lost the joy that goes beyond happiness. And somebody here this morning, the enemy, the devil, has done that to you. You don't smile like you used to. You don't get happy like you used to. You don't love like you used to. You don't interact with others like you used to. Somebody needs to know that there is restoration in the midst of the mess. So here we have these strong warriors. These grown men were overwhelmed by their sorrow. This was a sad day. It was a bad day. It was hard to love life on that day. These strong men cried until they couldn't cry anymore. Things get even worse for David. Verse 6 says that David was greatly distressed. In Hebrew, it means that it was a compounded feeling of distress. Not only was he carrying the burden of his men's losses, not only was he carrying the burden of defeat from the enemy, but now he carries his own personal burdens. And the men he led were now affixing blame upon him for their troubles. The Bible says David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. These men looked around at what was left of their homes smoldering on the ground. As the smoke rises from the ashes, so does their hurt and anger. They need an outlet for their emotions, and they need to choose to take things out on their leader. This was one of the most difficult situations imaginable. Away from his real home, chased by a mentally ill king, living like a vagabond, forced to side with the enemy, and now his own men speak of mutiny by making him a scapegoat for their misery and threaten to kill him. I want you to sense the desperation of this dark chapter in David's life. One reason I want you to sense it is to know that you are not alone when you face feelings of desperation. This was rock bottom for David. This was the end of the rope. This was Heartbreak Hotel. David had nobody. His family wasn't there to console him, and his associates lost their grip to the point that they wanted to kill him. So now the people are turning on him. People are going to turn on you when times get rough. As great a man and leader that David was, the people still turned on him in time of sorrow. As many battles as David had won, the first sign of trouble, they turned on him. He is no longer the giant killer whose praises are being sung by the admiring crowd. He is no longer the mighty man of faith and vision looked up with respect and love. Now he is in total rejection, on the verge of being stoned as a failure. David stands alone, stripped and confused in total despair. What does a child of God do when discouragement sets in and you feel hopeless and useless? You feel like a complete failure, abandoned by God and rejected by those who once cared. David's beloved friend Jonathan was nowhere in sight. How refreshing it might have been if he was able to talk to the one friend he knew that would never let him down. Abigail had been taken from him. His parents were far away. Where shall he go for comfort? To whom shall he turn for encouragement? David is surrounded by sorrow, his personal grief, the grief of a remnant of a city. The humiliation of being outsmarted. David would have been justified in losing his mind. He would have been justified in resigning and moving away. He would have been justified in blaming others. But the Bible says David encouraged himself, which brings us to point number two. You must encourage yourself in the Lord by putting worship before warfare. You must encourage yourself in the Lord by putting worship first. David is well known as a mighty man of warfare. But before anything else, David was a first-rate worshiper. Here in our text today, David didn't just get angry and stomp off to battle against the Amalekites to reclaim his family and property. He paused to spend time with God. You will find this is the most important principle in all of your life. You will find spending time with God is to be your first priority if you are to stay encouraged in the midst of the demands of life. You need to spend time with God every day because He made you. He created you to worship Him. He deserves your worship. He is worthy of your time and attentions. Your struggles are not the center of your life. Joy is not to be the center of your life. God is to be the center of your life. You're going to have to fight for your place in life sometimes. But before you fight, you need to find time for God. Can you imagine a soldier marching off to war without proper training, without having proper weaponry and ammunition, without being a part of a master battle plan? A soldier without those things is bound to fail. But a prepared soldier is a victorious soldier. And your preparation for spiritual warfare is time spent with God. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. In the Hebrew, this means he made himself strong in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He made himself firm. He supported himself. He repaired himself. He took care of himself. Somebody in here, your troubles have overwhelmed you. And you don't know what to do. You don't know what your next move is. Your next move is to encourage yourself. Don't quit now. You need to encourage yourself in the Lord. David gave himself godly encouragement, and you can't administer godly encouragement outside of the Word of God. Somebody needs to encourage yourself in the Lord. You need to get into the presence of God, because the Bible lets us know that in His presence there is fullness of joy. And when you fill up on that joy, you begin to take on strength, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. We believe in the Bible, amen? You see, David made himself strong by remembering that the Lord is a strong tower. He strengthened himself by remembering, when I am weak, He is strong. He made himself firm by remembering that He gives power to the faint. He displayed strength by remembering that He is Jehovah Jireh. He supported himself by remembering that, lo, He's with me always. He repaired himself by remembering that the Lord can renew my mind. and he took care of himself by remembering that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. You just got to remember and speak the word of the Lord. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? For my help cometh from the Lord. Oh, he leads me beside the still water, and my cup runneth over. You have to be like David and encourage yourself in the Lord. Regardless of the situation you find yourself in, you have to stand yourself up. Be a man of God, be a woman of God, and dust off your pants. Put a smile on your face and say, I am more than a conqueror through Christ that strengthens me. I am blessed in the fields and out the fields. I am blessed coming and going. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God is my rock and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Somebody needs to encourage themselves in the Lord through worship. Worship him in the midst of the mess. Worship him in the midst of your situation. Worship him in the midst of your circumstance. Worship is your weapon of warfare. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Restoration in the midst of the mess. Finally, you need to ask God for direction through prayer. After David encouraged himself, the text says that David called his priest and said, bring me the ephod, and he inquired of the Lord. David put on the holy vestment and prayed to the Lord. What a powerful move. Talk about getting good advice. David wasn't about to go into battle not having consulted God. Instead, he was going to leave for the battle confidently knowing that God is with him. So he regained his composure by worshiping God, and now he makes plans by consulting God. So if you start off worshiping God, that's great, but don't forget to follow God's instructions. If you want to be restored, we have to learn how to go to God in prayer. See, when David prayed, David asked the Lord, shall I pursue? And David was confident in his request. He went to the Lord claiming victory with his request. He didn't go weak. He came boldly. We have to come to the Lord boldly and ask God for what we want. And watch the text. The Lord says to David, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Hallelujah. The Lord says, you surely will recover it all. Restoration in the midst of the mess. So what else is there to say? God said it. I believe it. And that's enough for me. It's a done deal. For I am standing on the promises of God. Don't quit now, for there is restoration in the midst of the mess. God provided David with the victory. David took off to get his stuff back. But even as he went, those who were with him, some of them fell off. David started out with 600 men, but halfway through the journey, he lost 200. So I make that point to say, don't get discouraged if everyone who starts out on the journey with you don't make it. That didn't stop David from being on his mission. That didn't discourage him. He didn't turn around and go back home because he lost some people along the way. So that's what I'm saying to you. Stop tripping when people that started out with you are gone. Everybody is not going to the promised land. You were buddy buddies back in 19 whatever. And now here we are in 2020. They left you. But you should still carry on. And I'm not talking about left in regards to losing your loved one. I'm talking about people who were once your friends and now they are not your friend. People who supported you in the mission and then they left you. People who stabbed you in the back. You've got to hang in there and know that there is restoration in the midst of the mess. You are not alone. Sometimes we need to leave the past in the past and move forward where God is going to take you. Sometimes there are some people who were in your life that are not worthy of the blessing you're about to receive. There are some people who were in your life, and as long as they were in your life, you seemed to struggle, you seemed to have difficulties, things weren't working right, but now they're gone. They're gone on and friends with somebody else, they left you. You must still move on because God has your back. So I just said all that to say there is restoration in the midst of the mess that you may find yourself in. Don't quit. Don't give up. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word. We thank you for touching those who needed to hear this word, that there is restoration in the situation that they find themselves in. God, let this word minister to those each all week long. Show yourself strong and mighty in their lives. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen.